didn't intend to speak again, but I want to thank the last two speakers very much for their very valuable remarks. Now, I happen to agree with practically everything they've said, and I'm very glad that perhaps in some small way I goaded them into saying it. There are only two points I'd like to make. The first one really refers to almost the whole discussion this afternoon, which shows that in the definition of democracy and democratic rights, Europe is undergoing a heart-searching in order to adapt the consequences of one vote, one man, or one vote, one woman, to the need to safeguard fundamental human rights through institutions which might be upset by the wrongful use of the majority principles. And this searching of the heart is also taking place in, for example, Africa. I mention this because I think most people may not quite understand what the debates have recently been about, better saying, Kenya or Northern Rhodesia, and even to some extent in South Africa. There is here a very simple question, among others, as to what happens if you have a principle of majority rule, arithmetic rule by voting of the whole democracy, what happens to the rights of minorities? But not only rights in the purely constitutional sense, but what happens to the fabric of society if the society should be dominated by demagogues and then later, or at the same time, by dictators. Now, in Africa and other Afro-Asian countries, the emergence of dictatorship on the majority principle is really an illustration of this danger, namely that with the emergence of power in the hands of small or great tyrants, there is a danger that the very principles on which the economy and the society has so far operated will be so undermined that the communications with the outside world will be wrecked. That's what I meant by communication when I used this word before. Of course, one of the great problems facing us in the West is that in this shrinking world, we've got to get across a system of institutions and arrangements and contractual activities which will enable the principles of which we stand to be applied over these shrinking areas. And what the communists are doing at the present time in the Africa, for example, and in other parts of the world, is they are incorporating the so-called backward peoples into their system of thought, and we are losing the backward peoples which were previously incorporated in greater or lesser degree in our system of thought. Now, therefore, the heart searching that has been going on is how, in fact, to incorporate in democratic, in democracy, in these countries, arrangements whereby those that are less privileged in experience and intellect can cooperate with those that are more privileged in intellect and experience. And let me make one thing clear. Although I agree with almost the whole of everything that's been said, I did not agree with the example which was given about the primitive condition of peoples in those continents, in Africa particularly, even in Asia, in the comparison with, say, pre-Christian times. The African isn't primitive in that sense. The African has an intellect, and most people have an intellect which, according to the laws of biology, is no different in its distribution than it is in Europe. The real problem is that his social institutions are not adapted to the modern world, and he is trying to adapt them. And insofar as we allow majority rule or tyranny to disrupt the possibility other system which he may join. Now, the other point that I particularly wanted to underline is this. I was very interested to notice in the remarks of the last speaker, very excellent remarks, I may say so, that he said Europe is trying to put its own house in order. And after all, in a sense, we didn't have to leave these areas of what I call growing chaos. Well, we did not have to leave them. Then why did we leave them? We left them because, largely, we had lost our sense of purpose. And the reason for my remarks was this, that I don't believe a sense of purpose can wait. One doesn't put one's own house in order and then have a sense of purpose. The putting of the house in order is, in fact, the purpose. And what has really torn the world away from us, the world of the so-called underdeveloped areas, has been the fact that we have not applied our purposes. We have not applied them in any way consciously. We've not been proud of them. We've been torn. We've been distraught. And we haven't got the clear answer to the people who are knocking at our door. That is very clear. I can show you this in a moment. If they ask, should we have the system of one man, one vote, we say yes. And if we ask, well, what should we do with it? We then begin to dither. Some of us say we should follow the socialist line or the communist line, and others say we should follow a liberal line. We have lost the sense of purpose in our own society, and that loss of purpose in our own society has communicated itself to our ability to assist others. Now, to put our own house in order, we have, in fact, not just to think of Europe's own house. We have to think of Europe in relation to the whole world picture. There's no such thing as putting your own house in order any longer in this world. And where the communist societies, in my opinion, have the edge on it, is they've made it perfectly clear that their house is everybody's house. And we dare not be insular in Europe in our thought. We cannot regard this as a form in which we assume that we are enjoying a past heritage, working upon a past heritage for ourselves. Because the heritage of the past has to be adapted to the present. And the present is the world's present. It isn't the present only of our inherited past in Europe or in America. When I use the word Europe, I mean, of course, Western European civilization, and I include its offshoots, if I may say so, to the Americas and to the other dominions of a similar kind. And this sense of purpose, in my opinion, is not only lacking, because it is intellectually lacking, but it is also based on the fear that we have not been able to find the right method of translating the constitutional aspects of the problems, the legal, juridical, political, into economic action. And this is felt by the people in the rest of the world. I would only close by saying, if you take the situation in South America, you can see there clearly that in South America there is a dichotomy, a threshold, between those who feel that they must follow the West and its heritage, and those who feel that they should perhaps follow something which is more purposeful, more progressive. And this is the challenge. Finally, I would like to make one other footnote. Do not be misled by the travesty that the African doesn't want liberty. He is as keen on liberty as any of us in this room. But his liberty is bound up with social institutions which are melting before his eyes. And he sees